Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking two comprehensive summaries of Cheryl Strayed's incredible memoir, Wild, and really getting into it. You know, it's often said that profound change comes from hitting rock bottom, right? But how do you actually rebuild when everything feels like it's just gone? So that's our mission here. We're going to unpack Cheryl Strayed's journey on the Pacific Crest Trail, this solo hike she took. We want to understand how facing this massive physical challenge helped her confront devastating loss. It's a shortcut, really, to understanding resilience and, well, transformation.
And what's so gripping about Wild is that it's not, you know, some expert adventurer's tale.
Yeah.
It's incredibly raw. It's honest. It's about a regular person. Well, someone dealing with immense grief, feeling lost.
Yeah, I'm a grieving daughter. Right.
Exactly. A grieving daughter. Someone whose marriage fell apart. Who felt completely adrift. And that's why it hits home for so many people. Her vulnerability is its power.
That's a really important point. It's the lived experience that gives it weight. So for anyone who maybe doesn't know Cheryl Strayed beyond Wild, tell us a bit about her.
Sure. She's a highly respected American writer, memoirs, novels, essays, known for just unflinching honesty, radical empathy, really. And lots of people actually know her from her time as the anonymous advice columnist, Dear Sugar.
Oh, right. Tiny, beautiful things.
That's the one. Her advice columns were famous for their blend of, like, tough love and deep compassion. And she often drew on her own really difficult life experiences, which gave her this unique kind of wisdom.
Okay, so it makes total sense that she'd be the one to write Wild. Her authority comes from, well, having been through it herself, not from being a pro hiker.
Precisely. It wasn't about backpacking expertise. It was about navigating the wilderness of grief. That lived experience makes the story so authentic. It's about finding your way back, even from feeling utterly broken.
Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, what pushes a 26-year-old woman with pretty much zero long-distance hiking background to suddenly decide to hike 1,100 miles alone? It wasn't planned, was it?
Not even slightly. It all stemmed from this absolutely devastating event 4 years earlier. Her mother, Bobby, died very suddenly from cancer. She was only 45.
Just 45.
Yeah. Huh? And for Cheryl, her mom wasn't just her mom. She was everything. Her anchor, her inspiration. Losing her didn't just cause grief. It completely shattered her world, her sense of self, family, future, gone.
And this grief, it wasn't just quiet sadness, right? It sounds like it sent her into a real tailspin.
Oh, absolutely. It was destructive. Her marriage to Paul, a man she still loved, fell apart. She talks about a period of really reckless behavior, trying heroin, meaningless sex, just feeling totally disconnected, unmoored, as she puts it.
Just lost.
Completely lost. Actively self-sabotaging, almost. It's like she was trying to escape the pain, but just digging a deeper hole.
So how does hiking the PCT even come into the picture from that place?
Well, in that state, feeling like she had absolutely nothing left to lose, she literally just stumbled upon a PCT guidebook in a store. The decision was impulsive, almost reckless, you could say.
Just saw it and thought, that's it.
Pretty much. It was this desperate lunge towards something else, anything else.
Yeah.
A way to maybe find a path back to herself when every other path seemed destroyed. It was a radical break from her destructive patterns. Pattern interrupt, you might call it.
Right, that makes sense. And this is where the book gets so fascinating, weaving together the brutal physical journey with this equally intense internal one.
Yes, it's brilliantly done. The trail itself, the harshness, it becomes this perfect metaphor for her internal state, for the wildness of her grief. Every step, every challenge out there mirrors something inside.
Let's talk about that physical side first. Yeah. The book doesn't shy away from her lack of preparation.
Yeah.
And her backpack, Monster. Tell us about Monster.
Oh, Monster. Yeah, it was legendary. Absurdly heavy. Just packed with way too much stuff, things she didn't need, the wrong kind of gear, and her boots. She started with boots that were too small.
Oh, no. Blisters.
Agonizing blisters. Led to that famous moment where she just loses it in pain and rage and hurls one boot off a cliff. So, yeah, her unpreparedness meant she was thrown right into intense suffering from day one.
It sounds like trial by fire, literally, sometimes. What were the biggest challenges the trail itself threw at her?
I mean, where to start? The crushing heat of the Mojave Desert, scrambling for water. Then the Sierras, which in 1995 had record snowpack. Really dangerous crossings, often without the right gear.
Like an ice axe, things like that.
Exactly. Plus constant hunger, thirst, rattlesnakes, bears, and just the sheer soul-crushing exhaustion of walking, walking, walking day after day.
Wow. And you said the trail acted like a clarifying lens. How did its indifference kind of force her to confront herself?
Because the trail doesn't care about your feelings, right? It demands competence. Mm-hmm. Now, find water, make camp, don't fall off the cliff. Every decision had real consequences. It stripped away the self-pity and forced her into the present moment. She had to cope. She had to be responsible for her own survival.
And while all that is going on, her mind is replaying the past, the flashbacks to her mother, Bobby. It sounds like her mom was both the source of the pain and her strength.
Absolutely. The solitude meant there was nowhere to hide from the memories. She'd walk for hours just thinking about Bobby, her optimism, her belief in Cheryl. These memories were painful, obviously, reopening the wound, but they were also fuel. Remembering her mother's strength helped her find her own.
That dual journey is really the core. Can you give an example of how a specific physical hardship connected directly to an emotional one? Like, how did one help process the other?
Yeah, think about her feet. Constantly mangled, bleeding, losing toenails. That physical agony, the constant need to tend to those wounds, it was almost like she was tending to her emotional wounds, too. The guilt, the grief, it gave the intangible pain a physical place.
That's a powerful connection.
Or, you know, reaching a summit after a brutal climb, exhausted, hurting, but then seeing this incredible view, those moments of awe offered tiny glimpses of peace. A lifting of the emotional weight, something she hadn't felt in years. Her body was processing what her mind couldn't alone.
And it wasn't just grief for her mother. There was the guilt about her marriage falling apart, losing Paul, even though he stayed supportive.
Yeah, he even mailed her resupply boxes along the trail, which is incredible.
It really is. And then memories of her childhood, her difficult father, the choices she regretted. How did the trail bring all that up?
Again, the solitude. No distractions. Her mind just went there. She replayed things, re-examined her actions, especially the infidelities and how she handled the grief. The trail offered this vast, non-judgmental space to finally face it all instead of running.
So after going through all of that, this immense ordeal, what are the big lessons? What did she take away and what can, you know, we take away?
I think the biggest one is this idea of grief as a wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
It's untamed, unpredictable. She didn't try to neatly manage it. She literally walked through it. Healing isn't reaching some endpoint. It's messy. It's nonlinear. It just requires putting one foot in front of the other, even when it feels impossible.
And nature itself wasn't just a setting, right? It was an active force.
Definitely. It broke her down, yes, but it also offered profound solace. The sheer scale of it put her problems in perspective. And those moments of beauty, seeing a fox she felt was her mother's spirit. The mountain views, they were deeply healing, connecting her back to herself and something larger.
There's also that theme of radical self-reliance, being utterly alone, forced to make every single decision. How did that counteract the helplessness she felt?
That helplessness was key to her spiral. On the trail, failure wasn't really an option, not if she wanted to survive. Every choice was hers. Finding water, navigating, it was all on her. That forced responsibility was the antidote. She learned she had to save herself.
It wasn't all solitude. There were these moments of connection too, right? Fellow hikers, trail angels.
Those are crucial. They reminded her of kindness, of community, even in the middle of nowhere. It showed that even when you're deep in your own personal wilderness, you're still connected to other people. Solitude was necessary, but so was connection.
And maybe the deepest insight that healing isn't about erasing the past. She didn't just get over her mom's death or her mistakes.
Exactly. That's critical. It's about learning to carry it. Mm-hmm. The grief, the guilt, they become part of your story, part of your strength. It's like she says, I didn't have a mother anymore, but I had a mother in me. And asking herself, what if I forgave myself? That's huge. Acceptance, not erasure.
So bringing it back to us, how can you, listening right now, apply these lessons if you're not, you know, planning a 1,000-mile hike?
Well, that phrase from the trail, hike your own hike, is such a great metaphor for life. Stop comparing your journey, your healing, your career, whatever, to others. Your path is yours. Embrace your pace, your struggles.
And her story really pushes back against always seeking comfort, doesn't it? Maybe deliberately choosing something hard, learning a skill, having a tough conversation is how you build resilience. That pattern interrupt idea again.
Absolutely. Stepping outside your comfort zone forces growth. And then there's radical acceptance and self-forgiveness. Her journey shows us how to be compassionate with our own mistakes. Accepting what happened is the first step to moving forward.
And finding that solace in nature, even small doses, maybe just a walk in the park, turning off the phone, it can bring clarity.
Definitely. And finally, that monster backpack. We all carry our own monsters, right? Grief, regrets, insecurities. The point isn't to just ditch the pack entirely, but to learn how to carry it better. Strengthen yourself, shed the unnecessary weight, and keep walking forward with it. Acknowledge it, but don't let it stop you.
It often means moving towards the scary stuff, not away from it.
Precisely. Taking action, even if you don't feel ready, can be incredibly powerful.
Wild really shows that redemption feels possible no matter how lost you are. So maybe the question for you is, what leap into the unknown, big or small, might you need to take? What pattern interrupt could help you find your path and learn to carry your monster forward? Something to think about. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.